理课堂听 class.com。
Space and Man, a program in special English by the Voice of America. I'm Kay Gallant. Today, Harry Monroe and I report on one of the world's greatest scientists, Isaac Newton.Much of today's science of physics is based on Newton's discovery of the three laws of motion and his theory of gravity. Newton also developed one of the most powerful tools of mathematics. It is the technique we call calculus. Late in his life, Newton said of his work, "If I saw further than other men,It was because I stood on the shoulders of giants.
One of those giants was the great Italian scientist Galileo. Galileo died the same year Newton was born. Another of the giants was the Polish scientist Nicholas Copernicus. He lived 100 years before Newton.Copernicus had begun a scientific revolution. It led to a completely new understanding of how the universe worked. Galileo continued and expanded the work of Copernicus. Isaac Newton built on the ideas of these two scientists and others. He found and proved the answers they searched for.
Isaac Newton began life in Woolsthorpe, England, on December 25th, 1642. Isaac Newton was born early. He was a small baby and very weak. No one expected him to survive, but he surprised everyone. Newton lived until age 84.And he had one of the most powerful minds in history. Newton's father died before he was born. His mother married again a few years later. She left Isaac with his grandmother. The boy was not a good student, but he liked to make things, such as kites and clocks and simple machines.
Newton also enjoyed finding new ways to answer questions or solve problems. As a boy, for example, he decided to find a way to measure the speed of the wind. On a windy day, he measured how far he could jump with the wind at his back. Then he measured how far he could jumpwith the wind in his face. From the difference between the two jumps, he made his own measure of the strength of the wind. Strangely, Newton became a much better student after a boy kicked him in the stomach. The boy was one of the best students in the school. Newton decided to get evenby getting higher marks than the boy who kicked him. In a short time, Newton became the top student at the school.
Newton left school to help on the family farm. It soon became clear, however, that the boy was not a good farmer. He spent his time solving mathematical problems instead of taking care of the crops.And he spent hours visiting a bookstore in town instead of selling his vegetables in the market. An uncle decided that Newton would do better as a student than as a farmer. So he helped the young man enter Cambridge University to study mathematics. Newton completed his university studies 5 years later, in 1665. He was 22 years old.
At that time, a deadly plague was spreading across England. To escape the disease, Newton returned to the family farm. He did more thinking than farming, but he found the answers to some of the greatest mysteries of science. Newton used his great skill in mathematics to form a better understanding of the world and the universe. He used methods he had learned as a boy in making things. He experimented. Then he studied the results and used what he had learned to design new experiments. Newton's work led him to create a new technique in mathematics for measuring areas curved in shape. He also used it to find how much material was contained in solid objects. The technique he created became known as integral calculus.
One day, sitting in the garden, he watched an apple fall from a tree. He began to wonder if the same force that pulled the apple down also kept the moon circling the earth. Newton believed it was, and he believed it could be measured. He called the force gravity. He began to examine it carefully. He decided that the strength of the force keeping a planet in orbit around the sun depended on two things. One was the amount of mass in the planet and the sun. The other was how far apart they were.
Newton was able to find the exact relationship between distance and gravity. He multiplied the mass of one space body by the mass of the other. Then he divided that number by the square of their distance apart. The result was the strength of the gravity force that tied them to each other. Newton proved his idea by measuring how much gravity force would be needed to keep the moon orbiting the earth. Then he measured the mass of the earth and the moon and the distance between them. He found that his measurement of the gravity force produced was not the same as the force needed, but the numbers were close. Newton did not tell anyone about his discovery. He put it aside to work on other ideas. Later, with correct measurements of the size of the earth, he found that the numbers were exactly the same.
Newton spent time studying light and colors. He used a three-sided piece of glass called a prism. He sent a beam of sunlight through the prism. It fell on a white surface. The prism separated the beam of sunlight into the colors of a rainbow. Newton believed that all these colors, mixed together in light, produced the color white. He proved this by letting the beam of rainbow-colored light pass through another prism. This changed the colored light back to white light.
Newton's study of light led him to learn why faraway objects seen through a telescope do not seem sharp and clear. The curved glass lenses at each end of the telescope acted like prisms. They produced a circle of colored light around an object. This created an unclear picture. A few years later, Newton built a different kind of telescope. It used a curved mirror to make faraway objects seem larger. Light reflected from the surface of the mirror instead of passing through a curved glass lens. Newton's reflecting telescope produced much clearer pictures than the old kind of telescope.
Years later, the astronomer Edmund Halley visited Newton. He said he wanted Newton's help in finding an answer to a problem no one had been able to solve. The question was this: what is the path of a planet going around the sun? Newton immediately gave Halley the answer: an egg-shaped path called an ellipse. Halley was surprised. He asked for Newton's proof. Newton no longer had the papers from his earlier work, but he was able to recreate them. He showed them to Halley. He also showed Halley all his other scientific work.
Halley said Newton's scientific discoveries were the greatest ever made. He urged Newton to share them with the world. Newton began to write a book that explained what he had done. It was published in 1687. Newton called his book The Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. The book is considered the greatest scientific work ever written.
In his book, Newton explains the three natural laws of motion. The first law is that a body not moving remains still, and one that is moving continues to move at an unchanging speed so long as no outside force influences it. Bodies in space continue to move because nothing exists in space to stop them. Newton's second law of motion describes force. It says force equals the mass of an object multiplied by the change in speed it produces in a body. His third law says that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
From these three laws, Newton was able to show how the universe worked, and he proved it with simple logic and easily understood mathematics. Scientists everywhere accepted Newton's ideas. The leading English poet of Newton's time, Alexander Pope, honored the scientist with these words: "Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, let Newton be, and all was light."
Have been listening to Space and Man, a program in special English by the Voice of America. Your narrators were Harry Monroe and Kay Gallant. Our program was written by Marilyn Cristiano and Frank Beardsley.
Space and Man, a program in special English by the Voice of America. I'm Frank Oliver. Today, Larry West and I will report on the work of the great scientist Albert Einstein.
In the year 1905, Albert Einstein published a scientific paper. It was only 30 pages, but it was one of the most important scientific documents in history. Einstein's paper, filled with mathematics, explained what came to be called his special theory of relativity. Understanding Einstein's idea of relativity is not easy for someone who is not an expert in mathematics. We can understand it fully only by understanding the mathematical statements that explain it. Parts of the theory seem impossible to believe, but experiments prove they are true. The special theory of relativity is about the basic ideas that we use to describe natural happenings. It is about time, space, mass, movement, and gravity.
Albert Einstein was born in Ulm, Germany in 1879. His father was a businessman. He owned a factory that made electrical devices. Albert was a quiet child who spent much of his time alone. He was slow to talk and had difficulty learning to read. But he was interested in how things worked, and he asked a lot of questions. When Albert was 5 years old, his father gave him a compass. The child was filled with wonder when he discovered that the compass needle always pointed to the north. He asked his father and his uncle what caused the needle to move. Their answers about magnetism and gravity were difficult for the boy to understand, but he spent much time thinking about them.
Albert did not like school. The German schools of that time were not pleasant. Students could not ask questions. Albert said he felt as if he were in prison. Albert told his uncle Jacob how much he hated school, especially algebra and geometry. His uncle told him to solve mathematical problems by pretending to be a policeman. "You are looking for someone," he said, "but you do not know who. Call him X. Find him by using the mathematical tools of algebra and geometry."
Uncle Jacob's game made a big difference in Albert's schoolwork. He learned to love mathematics. Albert solved all the problems in his algebra book. He was studying calculus when all his friends were still studying simple mathematics. Albert Einstein decided that he wanted to teach mathematics and physics. Einstein attended the Federal Polytechnic Institute in Zurich, Switzerland. He graduated with honors, but he could not get a teaching job. So he took a job in the Swiss government patent office. The job was easy. He had lots of time to work on his own ideas.
Some of those ideas were about relativity. Einstein had begun to believe that everything in the universe was moving. Everything from the smallest electrons of an atom to the greatest planets and stars. Measuring any of these movements depends on where the measurer is standing. Imagine for a moment that you are driving a car. Your speed, relative to the ground, is 50 kilometers an hour. An insect inside the car with you flies from the back of the car to the front. Relative to you, the insect is flying 10 kilometers an hour. But to someone standing at the side of the road, the insect's speed would be 60 kilometers an hour. While you and the insect are traveling, the Earth is moving at 30 kilometers a second relative to the Sun. And the Sun is moving at 240 kilometers a second relative to the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
Einstein said that the speed of light, 300,000 kilometers a second, never changes. It does not matter where the light is coming from or who is measuring its speed. It is always the same. However, time can change, and mass can change, and length can change. Let us use our imagination again. Imagine two spaceships with a scientist in each. One spaceship is red, one is blue. Except for color, both spaceships are exactly alike. They pass each other far out in space. Neither scientist feels that his ship is moving. To each, it seems the other ship is moving, not his. As they pass at high speed, the scientist in each ship measures how long it takes a beam of light to travel from the floor to the top of his spaceship, hit a mirror, and return to the floor. Both spaceships have a window that lets each scientist watch the experiment of the other.
At exactly the same moment, they begin their experiments. The scientist in the blue ship sees his beam of light go straight up and come straight down. But he sees that the light beam in the red ship does not do this. Because the red ship is moving so fast, the beam does not appear to go straight up. It goes up at an angle and comes down at an angle. It forms a path that looks like an upside-down V. This path is longer than the straight up-and-down path that the blue scientist saw in his own ship. Because light travels at the same speed, time would have to pass more slowly in the red ship to let the light beam travel the longer path.
The scientist in the red ship would see exactly the same thing as he watched the experiment by the blue scientist. He would say that time passed more slowly in the other ship. Each scientist would be correct, because the passing of time is relative. Each would be right in saying that the other ship had slower time. Each scientist also would see that the other ship was shorter than his own. The higher their speeds, the shorter the other ship would appear. And although the other ship would seem shorter, its mass would increase. It would seem to get heavier. These are difficult ideas to accept. Does time really slow down? Do objects get shorter and become heavier at high speeds? Experiments by other scientists have proved that Einstein's special theory of relativity is correct. No experiments have proved it wrong.
10 years after his paper on the special theory of relativity, Einstein published another paper. It described what he called his general theory of relativity. It offered new ideas about gravity and about the close relationship between matter and energy. Einstein said matter could be changed into energy. He developed a simple mathematical statement that measured the amount of energy in matter. It is E equals mc squared. E is the energy in a piece of matter. M is the mass of the matter. C squared is the speed of light multiplied by itself. This statement, or formula, showed the great amount of energy that could come from a tiny piece of matter. It explained how the sun could give off heat and light for millions of years. Einstein's formula also led to the discovery of atomic energy.
Einstein won a Nobel Prize in Physics in the year 1921. He received the award not for his theories of relativity, but for his discovery of the law of the photoelectric effect. This law explained how and why some metals give off electrons after light falls on their surfaces. This discovery led to the development of modern electronics, including radio and television.
Einstein became a famous man, but he had few close friends. "It is strange," he wrote, "to be known by so many, and yet to be so lonely." He was a religious man who saw God in nature. "What I see in nature," said Einstein, "is something magnificent that we understand only imperfectly." Einstein left Germany when Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933. He said he would stay in a country only where there was political liberty, toleration, and equality of all citizens under law. Einstein came to the United States to continue his research. He worked at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. Einstein spent the last 25 years of his life working on what he called the unified field theory. He hoped to find a common mathematical statement that could tie together all the different fields of physics. It was work that Einstein never completed. In 1955, Albert Einstein died. He was 76 years old.
You have been listening to Space and Man, a program in special English by the Voice of America. Your narrators were Larry West and Frank Oliver. Our program was written by Marilyn Cristiano and Frank Beardsley.